Vic Carucci with you from the PNC Bank in Mentor on Plaza Boulevard. Come on out to the Cleveland Browns PNC Bank tailgate party. Come hang out with us. Come eat. There's food. There's sandwiches. I think there's pizza. It's always a good day when there's pizza. There's refreshments and interactive games. So come hang out with us. Craig Robertson's going to be here a little bit later on in the show. Coach Sam, former Browns coach Sam Ritigliano, also will be stopping by as well. We want you to be here and partake and be part of this beautiful day. Back in Berea at our studio in Berea is Nathan Zagura. And with us now from the K&R studio is our great friend and a regular on this show, Gerard Cherry. Hi, Gerard.
What's up, the notorious VIC? I love you say that, Nate.
What's up, Gerard?
I'm doing well, my man. How are you doing?
Great. When you look at this game here, week two, let's move on. Let me ask you this. How quickly can you move on as a player from a disappointment like the Browns had in week number one, knowing that you have a game against a divisional rival that really is for first place in the division, given that everybody went 0-4 in week one?
Tuesday is still weighing on you because you kind of shameful about the performance. You really don't want to go out and about on town because people are going to look at you sideways and you don't really want to deal with that. But come Wednesday, you're back in there. You got your new game plan. You focus straight to the Baltimore Ravens. So by tomorrow, guys will have it and they have to have it out of their system. Now, on one hand, it will still weigh on you from a confidence standpoint of what you think you're capable of doing. But the best way to rid those ills out of your system from your mental standpoint is to be mad, be pissed off, be ready to go out there and, I know I'm not supposed to say this, hurt somebody.
Gerard, Travis Benjamin was here and signed autographs and such, and then came on the show a short while ago. And one of the things he mentioned that stuck with me right off the bat was plays were left on the field. He said if you look around, and it wasn't just on offense, but, I mean, he was talking about offense. He said special teams as well, and just studied it. And his sense of it was there was confidence to take from this. Be encouraged that in multiple ways the Browns stopped themselves. I'm not going to suggest he was happy about that, but encouraged that, okay, we stopped ourselves probably as much as, if not more, than the Dolphins managed to do so. If that's in fact so, how much can you take away from that as a player into your next game?
I could take a lot from him, Vic, but let me digress right quick because I used to hear that same speech from my high school coach. His name was Chico Mendoza. Was like an MVP in the Rose Bowl for Texas, something weird like that. And every week he'd tell us, who beating who? And we have to yell out, we're beating ourselves. Who beating who? We're beating ourselves. And literally for an entire season, because we were like Owen forever, I heard that.
You were always losing to yourself.
We were always beating ourselves. So I was going to call child services on myself.
You don't want that. That is
But
sure.
Is there some, okay, I know you're given it in the sense of a, it has that cliche feel sometimes, and if not a lot of time, but is there's some validation to that? Is there
definitely any, and in real serious talk, yes there is. And Travis is right. When you do watch that film, you do see moments and instances where you say to yourself, if you make that read, if you make that catch, if you make that move, if you do this certain technical thing from a defensive standpoint, you're in a better position to make a play. All those things were out there. And again, it goes back to a young, inexperienced team. Should they have played in the fourth preseason? Because those type of things you figure out the more opportunities you get. So, yes, you're going to have these type of growing pains with the young team, and that's a great way to look at it, and it's a realistic way of looking at it. It's not sugarcoating it. The truth is there are a lot of plays left out there.
Gerard, one of the teams that was victimized in week number one, as well as the Cleveland Browns and their secondary, was the Baltimore Ravens. They gave over 460 yards and 7 touchdowns to Peyton Manning. And while the Browns aren't going to do that, certainly with all the changes in Baltimore's defense, there were some things that can be exploited in that secondary. What did you see when you watched that Baltimore game on Thursday night that gives you hope that the Browns can have a much better passing game in week two?
Well, you see separation from Wes Welker a lot, and then obviously as the game went on, you saw everyone getting involved in a party for the Denver Broncos against the Ravens. But be truthful with you guys, I think it was more of an issue of conditioning for the Ravens and playing in Mile High and what that represented in the second half more than anything, because there are some playmakers and you're going to have to respect the Baltimore Ravens. But really it's going to have to be an attitude of I don't care if you are the defending champions. I don't care if you won our division last year. I don't care what it says that once this banner is dropped. That means absolutely nothing to me. I had a bad performance last week, and I want to prove to my teammates and to my coaches and the Cleveland fan base that I do care about this game and that I am a winner. I'm going to help this organization turn itself around. That's really got to be your approach. Care less about what the Ravens have done the week before that. My mindset going to a game like this after we play bad will be I am going to beat somebody up. I am going to make plays. I am going to be the most physical person out on this football field. And if you get that as a collective and we get back to that complimentary football that we've seen that this team is capable of playing, you'll be okay.
Gerard Cherry joins us, as he regularly does here, on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci with you, coming from the PNC Bank in the parking lot here in Menor on Plaza Boulevard. Come hang out with us. There are interactive games. There is stuff to eat and good sandwiches and pizza and drinks. So please come and partake. The only thing missing is Tomo Sushi.
Gerard Cherry here for Tomo Sushi and Hibachi, restaurant and lounge.
That's nice. Just that we clearly could use that. I think we got to incorporate that in these remotes.
No doubt.
Gerard, I wanted to go here. Mm-hmm. The other part of this, and we heard from T.J. Ward a little earlier in the show. Jameer Howerton had a chance to sit down with him. Winds are kicking up out here, by the way. Just I don't know if you guys can tell
that.
But the thing he talked about, and I need your clarification and breakdown on this because this is in your wheelhouse as a former DB in the National Football League. He talked about the secondary's communication issues, needing to resolve those, and you know, pointing out that was a big part of the problems that this team experienced against the Dolphins Sunday. Give me a sense of what I know. You don't have the specifics of their strategy and such, or their game plan, or their playbook. But give me an idea of what that means in real terms.
What that means in real terms, I'll go to the time when Gibson caught a pass down the middle of the football field, and no one was around him. Once you get comfortable with guys communicating, this falls in line with the linebackers too. TJ as well as Gibson should be telling these guys, float with them, carry with them, because I'm not there yet. And you can hear that type of communication over the field, but if you're not used to recognizing a guy's voice and getting a sense of feel or how he plays, because for TJ, in his case, he hasn't been out there that much, those things are going to take 3 to 4 weeks to get that type of a chemistry developed and a rapport to where you can understand through body language as well as just quick verbal uns and ahs and grunts whether or not a guy's in a certain place. And obviously they're going to miss that right now. And that's why it's so important not to miss that much time during the course of preseason. So I hear where TJ's coming from, and that's like anything, man, a relationship. You build it over time with repetition and just working things out. So, again, even with what took place last week, I was very encouraged with the defense. So if they're having communication issues, at least there weren't a bunch of blown coverages out there would say, wow, it was glaring.
Absolutely. And let me ask you this. How much of what you do in the defensive backfield? Because there was one play a caller called up and talked about, 3rd and 9, where they blitzed blitzed Owens off of the nickel, off of the slot, mm-hmm. and Gibson was too deep. And basically, they allowed their Gibson to get an easy first down.
Right.
How much of a balance is it between tipping your hand by getting up there, you know, as the pre-snap adjustments are being made, walking up to make sure you can get there and cut off that first down, as opposed to, you know, staying so deep like he did, and he didn't make that first move up to take that pass away?
Yeah, and that's a tough read for a safety, because on one hand you say to yourself, okay, I know I'm going to have one-on-one coverage here because I'm the safety. No one's going to back me up, so let me play deep and let the guy catch the ball in front of me and not really challenge this wide receiver. The same token, too, if you do run that blitz, you got to hope that Owens does get there and take a chance and make a play as well. So it's a 50-50 no man's land, and obviously Gibson in that regard had depth in hiding the coverage, and that's a smart thing to do in football, is that you want to hide the coverage, especially with a young quarterback, because if he doesn't have a clue to where you're going to line up, then he'll more than likely make a mistake. But obviously in that regard, Tannehill made the correct decision by throwing where Owens was not.
Gerard, I'm guessing you were watching some football last night like the rest of us.
Yes, I was.
And saw that display at FedEx Field in Washington. Eagles, my God, that was impressive, the whole Chip Kelly Oregon style of offense. What were some of your your takeaways from the pace of that, the number of plays they got, they were able to run, and just the sense that from a defensive standpoint, it looked unstoppable in many ways.
I know one thing. Get your oxygen ready and prepare yourself for a track beat when you play against the Philadelphia Ducks, because they are not playing around. So I was impressed with that. And in this course of the year, Vic, they're at a stark advantage because most guys are out of shape. But because they practice that, try to get 80, 90 plays in a session for practice, that puts them in a greater curve as far as their endurance. So I think that's one of the things that's going to help them. But I think teams will eventually, as guys get into football shape, that takes place around about week 4 and 5, they'll start bringing the Eagles back down to earth. And also, too, when you get to a weather standpoint, it won't be more of the passing issue, because really that offense is prolific for its running. And you saw the lanes right last night. That's really more what you care about. But I think defenses, like they always do, will adjust. It might be the in vogue thing for this year. But I really do believe that right now they're just a step ahead of everyone else from a conditioning standpoint, because they do so much during the course of practice.
Do you think an offense that runs at that breakneck speed and tries to maintain that over for the course of a full season, number one, opens itself up to injury? And number two, let me ask you this from a defensive standpoint, how much does being on the field, let's say for the Washington Redskins, as often as they were in that game, playing so many snaps, is that enough, a big enough impact to carry over to their next game?
Yes, it is. Great point. Because one of the ways you can tell, and I used to always watch this and notice this, and this will help you for your fantasy, is how much of a battle was it? Just like in tennis, when guys have like Djokovic. How you say his name? You know what I'm talking about.
Djokovic.
He had the match against Nadal. He played previously a match in which it was like extended hours and everything else, extra sets. So he plays Nadal and he loses because Nadal is fresher. When you're even with someone and you have a rougher, more physical game that week, chances are you're not going to be as physically fresh with a team that you're even with, and chances are you're going to lose that game. So, yes, Nathan, that plays a big role in your following next week, how you adapted and acclimate to the fact that you're so freaking worn out, because normally it takes you, what, Tuesday to Wednesday to get your legs back? Playing against the Eagles this early on, it's going to be Friday, Saturday before guys start feeling somewhat right. So, yes, that has a huge part in it. And I do think that at some point, if McCoy goes down or Vic goes down, can they sustain that much activity through the course of the year? Because they're not getting hit by college guys. They're getting hit by some strong and supremely fast individuals that it will weigh on them, and I don't think they could take that beating for an entire year. And Vic has shown that he can't take that type of a beating.
You just brought up that point, and we hit on it earlier, but I that's where I was going to go next, is how sustainable is this? How much of a – I mean, how much did the rest of the NFL – we were all waiting to see, because – Chip Kelly had done a good job of keeping the wraps on this thing right through the preseason, and nobody really knew in the offseason exactly how much Oregon Ducks look would there be. Well, we see it now, and we know it's a pretty full dose, but then the question is, how much can you continue with that, and how long before other teams in the league try to incorporate that? I'm going to say probably not so fast, because that's not an easy thing to just install now. You are what you are as the season begins.
Yes, you are what you are, and if you try to say, hey, this is working for Chip, you might take some elements of it, 3 or 4 plays here and there, but to run that whole entire offense will be foolish. You just wasted your whole OTA sessions, your training camp, as well as preseason games. If you're going to make that big of a turn in the road at this point in stage in the game, horrible decision. And really, if that's not how, because also think about it, you try to do that, maybe your defense is not prepared to be off the field that long, or maybe they're not prepared to be on the field that long. All those things go hand in hand, and a lot of people need to understand how you call an offensive game plan affects the defensive game plan.
Right, right. You're not in a bubble.
No.
But you and I know, and Nathan, we all know that, you know, you're going to hear a fair amount of fans chirping about this, but even club owners, when they look and see that and say, hey, why aren't we doing that? Can they walk into the head coach's office and say, hey, can we do something like that too?
No, it's not that simple.
It's not that simple.
Exactly.
I
exactly.
It was. It's not that
oh,
simple.
I know it isn't, but I know those discussions happen in the NFL. You do too.
Right.
All right. Hey, Gerard, tremendous. Appreciate it. And we will have you on again. Obviously, we'll talk soon.
Sounds like a plan.
All right. Gerard Cherry, regular on this show, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Vic Carucci, Nathan Zagura. I'm here at the PNC Bank in Mentor on Plaza Boulevard. Nathan back in the Dog Bowl in Berea. We are going to get to more of your tweets at Browns_Daily. Your calls, 8216-578-0850, 216-578-0850 on a beautiful football Tuesday, Northeast Ohio. Stick around for more. ESPN 850 WKNR.